G'day Jets fans, it's me, David. We are back this week to review round 25 with the Jets officially ruling themselves out of an opportunity to reach the finals and Perth Glory, at the same time claiming the premiership with a 1-0 victory in Perth on Sunday night. Joining me to have a chat over this game and have a look at, in a way, the season that was before we do, obviously, a season review later, after the season's concluded, is, first of all, Lucas. Hello. How are you?
Hey, good to be on. And it's been a while, so I'm glad to be on, even though it's a loss.
Thank you, mate. It's good to have you on. And Matt as well, you're joining us to have a look back at the game. Welcome.
Great stuff, Dave. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Well, guys, the season's over. It was a 1-0 loss, Matt. And look, there were moments when I thought the Jets might have actually been able to pick something out of this game. Generally, a resolute defensive performance. We just defended well in patches, but it was the one slip, and Perth Glory's quality overall shone.
It's one of those games where you've got to say the better team won. If we had have gotten something out of that, then it certainly would have been against the run of the grain for the rest of the game, from what I saw anyway.
Yes, absolutely. And Lucas, I mean, the first half I thought was really good, but the Jets just seemed to fade away in the second piece, which we'll explore a little bit further, but. It was only a matter of time before Perth's quality shone through with the players that they have, and they took their opportunity, they scored, they won, they lifted the plate.
Yeah, that's right. And yeah, we held on for them as long as we could, but they wanted that plate, didn't they? And yeah, it's just a matter of time before they break through eventually.
Let's have a look at through the lineup. The only change was, there was a couple of changes, sorry, Matt. Even Vujica came into the team in place of Daniel Georgeski, who wasn't part of the travelling squad. Is that a move that surprised you? I mean, I know that Ernie's been saying he wants to bring the new team, like the young players in. But Georgeski was probably one that I wouldn't have really picked.
On form, definitely. But good on him. We all know where Georgeski's going next year, and we know that we haven't got anything to play for anymore. Ernie, I guess, had pretty much given up before this game, and let's look at our record in Perth. It's fair enough. I think it's a good time now in the next couple of games to actually blood a few youngsters, so let's hope we see a bit of Jack Simmons and, for Luke's sake, maybe some Mackie Petratos.
Might be a bit early to see Mackie Petratos, I think, but you never know. I think Jack Simmons and Langwa are certainly ahead of them. Lucas, the other change to the team was Ronald Vargas made his way onto the bench after starting last week. It was mentioned that he had an injured ankle, which forced his substitution at halftime against the Wanderers. Matt Redenton came into the team. Personally, I was expecting Angus Thurgate to make his way into the team on the right-hand side, or even possibly Kane Shepherd ahead of Matt Redenton, but Ernie picked his former Phoenix protege to come into the midfield and fill the void left by Vargas.
Yeah, I was expecting Thurgate to get a start, especially with the mention of the focus on the future. But he went with, a central midfielder, Redenton. He must really like him. So, obviously, I didn't think he played that well, to be honest. So, I reckon it was a bad choice.
Look, let's have a look at the first half then. I thought, Matt, that generally we started pretty well. There was a Roy O'Donovan volley from outside the box that cannoned off the bar. But the Jets had their moments in that first half, and it was a very end-to-end fixture, I felt. Like, really, really open.
If only, hey. I know exactly what you're talking about with that, the O'Donovan shot from, 40 yards out. Like, once again, if only. It would have completely changed the game if we had got ahead. I know that the second half was completely Perth, and that's the Popovich thing. What can you say? Like, we weren't really in it the second half.
No, well, not in the second half, but Lucas, Roy O'Donovan, I mentioned that chance earlier. If cannoned off the bar, the top of the bar, and went out. And then it was very early on that I thought that the Jets had broken their scoring hoodoo against Perth. And it was some lovely work from Ivan Vujica down that left-hand side, offering an outlet. And his first time low cross into the box found O'Donovan at the near post. He poked it past Liam Reddy, and the Jets were 1-0 up, only for it to be pulled back by VAR and FA ruled offside.
Yeah, and I remember I could hear you watching the game, the Perth crowd that were chanting, you know, VAR, VAR. But it actually was the right call. When he scored it, I thought he was onside, and it was just a great bit of play and a great finish. But looking back on it, it was the right decision, unfortunately. And yeah, that shot from 40 yards, that was brilliant. I reckon if that went in, it'd be up there for goal of the year, maybe.
Look, I mean, I'm a big critic of the VAR. It's not so much the ruling. I agree with the ruling in this occasion that they got the decision right, Matt. I just don't like the concept. I was celebrating that goal. I was thinking, this is the chance. This is what we needed. We've been absorbing all this pressure really early on. We've now got the goal. We're ahead, and Roy's scored his 10th goal for the season. We're a chance here. Wasn't to be.
Would have completely changed the game. I'm with you. I'm not a fan of VAR. Whether they get it right or get it wrong, it just changes the whole feeling of the sport. Clear and obvious error. It's so subjective. I remember the first time that it went in our favour, which I think was up in Brisbane, and I can't remember the Brisbane striker, but he was ruled to be offside, and I thought, oh shit, that's
Macaroni.
If this is the stand, and it was ruled against him, and I thought, oh geez, that's so tight. Like, I had no problems with that goal, and now I think it's been introduced to try and quell the fans' resentment to bad decisions. If anything, it's only just made it worse. Like, I'm still dwelling on that top off penalty when we played in Western Sydney last year.
Yeah, look, I don't know. Maybe you tend to remember the bad calls more so than the good, but we seem to be on the back of a few dodgy calls from the VAR. Lucas, I mean, I don't know about you.
We've had a few good ones.
We have had a few, but I think we've had more bad ones. I mean, Lucas, I don't know about you, but just it stifles the emotion for me. It's a debate that we've had all the time. We've had very, very often, I should say. It's going to be introduced into the Premier League next year, and I'll be interested to see how particularly some of the fans of the big clubs, once the calls go against them or they get a dodgy one, because it will happen. There's no doubt that it will happen. Just whether the introduction is as well received now as people are calling for it, when they finally get a couple of calls go against them.
Yeah, look, I don't like it either, and the same as it's here to stay. It's going to be in the Premier League and stuff eventually in the next season, I think, but or maybe the FA Cup. Are they in the FA Cup now? Oh, I'm not sure.
But I think only some grounds in the FA Cup.
Okay, yeah. Oh, I remember, reading about that, because some grounds had the technology and some grounds didn't, right?
Yes.
Something about that?
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, I just don't think it fits our game, because our game is so free-flowing, it just stops it, and it affects it when you've got to take a couple of minutes to check something out. But yeah, I can't wait. Like, imagine if it's Perth, Melbourne, or any these big teams in a grand final, and it stuffs up on show for everybody. Imagine that.
That is the worst thing when they get it wrong, when it's clearly wrong, and they blame software. Like, we might as well just leave it up to the hands of the assistant referee, eh?
Well, At the end of the day, I mean, it was 10 minutes later that the Jets were on the other end of a VAR call, and I could see very clearly that it wasn't a penalty. Who was it who went through? It was a Kianese who went through, and was it was Kianese who went through. He went down in the box, and
yes.
Katrumbas got a bit of the ball. He didn't get Kianese. Kianese cleared him, and then it was the challenge from Bugard that, in getting the ball, has essentially struck his hip against Kianese, and that's seen him go down. When Kurt Hams signalled that he was going to have a look, Lucas, I swear to you that they were going to get that pen. I could have sworn. I would have turned the game off. Ted Sett would have turned the game off.
Yeah, well, it 100% wasn't a pen. You know, it was just the pressure from the challenge. I think Bogart went to ground, and then he's just, like, kind of bounced off who was next to him. Couldn't top him, maybe. But, yeah, I had a bad feeling because they were taking so long with it. And I think the commentators are saying, you know, it's not a penalty, but I felt like they were going to give it, and yeah, it would have been a terrible decision. But yeah, luckily they got that right.
Absolutely.
If he had gone to ground earlier, it would have been given. Like after the first challenge and not the Bugard one, I think it would have been given.
That's a really interesting, observation, mate. We won't ever know if you're going to be right, but Jesus, that's about the first time I've ever seen them go and review it. They've given us a decision, gone and actually had a look at the screen, and then upheld their own decision as well. But you know, jumping ahead a bit, I guess Kurt Hams, I thought, actually refereed this game pretty well. I'm not the biggest Kurt Hams fans, but this was one of the better matches that I've seen him officiate for the Jets. Matt, he did a good job.
I've got no complaints anyway. Like, let's face it, at the end of the day, the better team won. If we had have come out of that with something, it would have been like more the fluke than the deserved results. And yeah, I don't think anyone, like even the most one-eyed supporter, can actually say that we deserve to win that game.
I mean, Joey Champness, for me, Lucas, was... in an attacking sense, certainly in his attacking sense, he was very, very prominent. There were a couple of opportunities, I think maybe two I can recall, where he was through one-on-one with the keeper. He wasn't able in this occasion, and normally Joey's somewhat reliable from that situation, but he wasn't able to beat Liam Reddy at this point in time. Probably one touch too many for me. But it's good to see that Joey's able to get in those opportunities. He's providing that pace and an outlet that we haven't really had this season, and the more time that he's starting to get on the field can only be good for what I expect for him will be a starting role in the team next season.
Yeah, you're right, and you can't forget that he hasn't played a lot of football this season. He's also been away with the Young Socceroos.
Yes,
I think it was. Yeah, so but you're right. The good signs are there going into the last couple of rounds and next season, because he is forward thinking, and it's just that last, if it's a more like a harder shot or the right touch or the right time to strike the ball, but that'll come with games, I think, and it'll be good for us next season.
Glenn Moss, Matt,
I would have loved to see I would have loved to see Joey get 7 or 8 games up front. I think he would have done a lot better than Hoff did. Sorry to the Hoff fans out there, but it didn't work for us for the first, what, half a dozen or so. He's got something.
See, I don't actually think that he's a striker. I personally, for me, his best position is out on that wing. We saw a couple of opportunities. Well, he had some opportunities last season towards the end of the year where, with Roy suspended following the Sydney FC game, we put him up top. It was anonymous. It blunted his performance and his ability to influence the game.
I don't think it's natural for him, but I think if he gets a run of games in that position, then like he'll show a lot more than what like Hoffman did. I agree. Like wide is his position because he doesn't have as much pressure on him, but he's big enough he's 194 centimetres or something. Like, he's big enough to be able to play in the middle. I'd still like to see it.
Yeah, he is tall in a sense, but he's very slim and young still, so he's still got to fill out. So I can see what you mean with his pace and being able to get behind, but I like him wide because he loves to take on players, and you can see that, you know, that's a big thing about his game that he's good at.
So moving on from Joey, I was about to bring conversation in Glenn Moss. I mean, the only reason that the Jets were able to really go into the break probably happy with nil all at halftime, Lucas, was the form of Glenn Moss. He was outstanding and clearly our player of the half, and for me personally, our player of the match.
Yeah, he did a great job, and it could have been, you know, a few more after the 90 minutes if he wasn't on his game. And it's good to see with, you know, the rounds, you know, a couple of rounds left, he's still, at the top of his game, which is good.
We go into the second half then, Matt, and it's, for me, a completely different Jets team. We're losing the midfield. We're providing a lot of space out wide, and certainly tracking back, the players were looking much more lethargic. Matt Redenton wasn't really able to hold onto the ball at all for me. Defensively, that they didn't track, and that just allowed Perth's attacking quartet really ample time to pick passes off, to move across the back four, create that passing opportunity, and get shots away.
What can I say? Completely agree. As much as we rave about Canter and UG, they were found out that night. There was no outlet. Canter and UG had to fall really deep just to bolster the defence. But then, we had no easy ball out. And Perth always did. Like, they were able to find either one of their wing backs because they played that back three, or they found Kilkenny pretty easily, and at least it gave them that, you know, couple of seconds on the ball before they had to play it forward. It really became in the second half, I think it became a game where everyone was lumping the ball forward because they wanted to score. They just did it better than us.
Redenton, I've been rather critical of Matt Redenton during this game. I thought that he didn't really take any responsibility for the ball. He was providing an outlet, an option, but he was one touch and then one touch back to Jurgakovic or to Kandarovsky and wasn't really doing anything. And I remember a couple of occasions where Jurgakovic has played the ball into him and he's just played straight back to Stevie, and Stevie's just, in the sense, had to go, well, bloody hell, and just take a few touches, beat that first line of the midfield, and then play it to the next player, be it Champness, Boyitsa, Katrumbas, whoever. Lucas, I don't think that Matt Redenton experiment worked this game. He looked off, and I'll be surprised if he retains his spot next week.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think he'll be starting next week. I think it's just, like, he's a good player on his day, and I remember speaking to him at a preseason game, and, you know, he seemed like he was, keen to join the squad, and it seemed like he'd mesh in, but, I'd just rather someone else there in his position. I think he's a bench player, to be honest.
I thought Shepherd, Vargas came on and played in that position, and then was eventually moved out left, which I thought was a strange decision, maybe, Matt, to put, if you're going to do that, you perhaps look at putting Thurgate on to play out left and replace Joe Chambers. The Ernie substitutions in that sense kind of surprised me a bit.
Yeah, I agree. Especially when he's been paid so much money, you'd expect him to be able to get the ball in a tight space and hang on to it and play it forward. But I think that's probably the last game that we'll see of Vargas, because he was pretty ordinary, if you ask me.
He certainly struggled to retain a lot of the ball, and when he did have it, for me, I just saw more of him and Dimmy getting into each other's way. It was interesting. Dimmy came out during the week and said that he loved for Ronnie to stay, so they must obviously get on. perhaps we just need to find a way, if he is going to be retained, of accommodating both these players in that team. And I don't think that that's necessarily the formation that we have.
Well, maybe he's saying that Dimmy's going to go.
Looking at the goal, it was a turnover. It was a quick breakthrough upfield. Diego Castro getting a little bit of time. The Jets tracking back and giving him the opportunity to pick the pass. And it was a ghosting run by Ivan Franjic that came in on that left-hand side in behind Vujica, who managed to then squeeze it past Glenn Moss, 1-0 to Perth Glory, Lucas. Pretty disappointed that run wasn't off Franjic, wasn't tracked, wasn't noticed. I think there was a lot of... Vujica was probably... To be fair, I reckon he was probably stuffed to an element as well, that he'd been working hard all game. Not a lot of help from Joey Champness coming back defensively. He had Chianese running at him all night. Look, you're critical of the nearest player to the ball, but I think that the team really needed to look at that and say, well, geez, that Perth finally broke them down after having many, many near escapes during the evening.
Yeah, it's true. And the thing is, like, there was a fullback's run that got the goal, and you got to think, is it Ernie telling Joey to stay up there and wait for us to win the ball back so he can counter and try and get a goal, or just Joey being lazy and not tracking back? But Ernie seems like a pretty stern coach, obviously, so he'd probably want him to track back. So, like you said, the person closest to the ball has to shut him down, and yeah, no one did.
Look, it was glorious half, Matt.
You put two.
Go for it.
Oh, sorry, you put two guys that haven't played 90 minutes regularly on the same side, and after 60 or 70, you've got to expect that they're going to start to become, in inverted commas, a bit lazy.
And hey, we saw that with the substitutions that Ernie made, Jackson. Came on, and Champness was subbed for Kane Shepherd. So, look, yeah. End of the night, I mean, we had a couple of late...
Sorry, Dev.
No, you're right. You go, mate.
I don't think you can blame him. Like, you know, neither of them really played 90 minutes all season. We're playing for the best team in the competition by far, for what is almost a hopeless cause, and they would have been playing their guts out for the first 60 or 70 minutes before that goal went in. You know, shit happens.
It does. Well, look, the end of the game, we did have a bit of a late flurry. Glenn Moss ended the night with 7 saves. What was telling for me is that we did have 4 shots on target. I think most of them were in the first half. But yet again, we drew a blank against Perth, and it's been almost the story of our almost the story of our season, that we have plenty of chances, Matt, but there's no result with the end of it.
It has been since especially for the first 8 or 9 games. Roy's kind of changed that, although the critics will say that he's had a lot of chances and hasn't put them away. Last year, everything just seemed to be coming up Jets. What can I say? Forever 7th.
Yeah. Look, I turned off. I couldn't watch Perth Glory lifting the premiership. Congratulations to the Perth Glory. They very well deserved. I just don't like to see other teams celebrating if it's not my team. The season's now over. We've got essentially 2 dead rubbers for us. It's not a dead rubber for Sydney FC. They've still got something to play for. Brisbane Roar, they can't go any higher. They can't go any lower.
We've still got to try and finish ahead of Wanderers.
For what it's worth. I mean, Lucas, Ernie Merrick in the press conference, and people will hear this when we play that later on in this podcast, but he's indicated that now's going to be the time to really put the kids out. He's expecting that Angus Thurgate will be starting the game. Do you think that's a good move. Do you expect any other people will be looking ahead with a little eye on the next game? Who else do you expect to be coming in the team for this for these last two matches?
Maybe just Fergate, to be honest. I don't know. Ernie says he's going to bring the youth through, but I think he'll just start the players that haven't been getting a start, maybe. Can't see him doing anything too crazy because he's still, you know, you don't want to get pumped, even though, you know, we're, you know, not going to make the finals. I still want your respect and to show that there's something there for next season. So, but I just hope that he, because this whole thing about we haven't been able to hit the heart to hold each other, the target the whole year, the whole season, surely they've been doing stuff at training to try and solve that, and they still haven't found it, really.
No. Well, so
I'd like to see a couple of other changes, like especially for this round, because it's versus Brisbane. I can understand why he didn't want to bring out all the youngsters versus Perth, because it's going to be pretty psychologically scarring if you get thumped 6-0 in your first, you know, senior game. But I'd like to see Jack Simmons and maybe Langlar get a start in the next two.
Yeah, look, I think it's quite possible that they're two players that will be going to get... Langlar, I don't think, will get a start. I think that we'll see him off the bench. Jack Simmons as well. I actually think one player that will come into the starting lineup is possibly Kane Sheppard. I wonder if we'll see Kane Sheppard perhaps taking Roy's spot up top, with a view to see how he performs, if that is an option for us next year. Don't know. Just throwing that one out there.
I don't know. I've got a feeling that Ernie's looking at a 3-5-2 for next year. So yeah. That'd mean like having Sheppard and if he and O'Donovan both play up front.
It's possible. We will be speculating, and I think that it will be interesting to see who we recruit, who we retain as well, but who we recruit for the positions. I mean, I think that three at the back is the way it would be going. We are looking at that specifically with the recruitment of Matt Miller and Ivan Vujica on the left-hand side to accompany him. Because I'm watching this game, Lucas, and there's a big gap between our attacking line, who are right up pushed on the last line of defence, and our two holding mids. And there's acres of space between them because the centre-backs are so deep. The holding mids are picking the ball up off them. They're picking it up in about the halfway line, and the attackers are sitting up on the edge of the 18-yard box. There's no options for them going through the middle. I think we almost need to change our approach so that we've not got two holders. We actually need to try and convert to one.
Yeah, that's true. Three at the back would be interesting, especially with Miller coming in. He's perfect for that right back position or right wing back. I guess it's just speculation until next season. You wonder why we haven't tried these things already. I guess because we haven't got the pieces yet or something. But, you know, I've wanted some big changes for a while now to see if it changes our luck, because we've just been sticking to the same formula and it hasn't worked out, has it?
No. I mean, I think the thing that Ernie really needs to be working on is solving the scoring problem, because we've been blunt, Matt, realistically. We're not the team that we were last year, and we need to solve that attacking problem, that attacking issue. And, you know, find a way to start scoring goals again.
When you lose Naboo and Riley McGree, it's always going to be an issue, especially if they're like your two main outlets and you've got O'Donovan sitting in the middle. Right from the outset, like, they played diagonal balls to pacey players. Like, if you remember the first game last year against Central Coast, they were playing ball straight into the channel for Naboo, and he wasn't even looking to see where O'Donovan was. He was hit that straight into onto the penalty spot, or halfway between the 6 yard and the penalty spot. And hey, what do you know? He gets a hat trick. We didn't have those kind of players playing in those positions, but we still tried to play the same kind of game, and it just didn't work. Dimmy's not fast enough. So yeah, there's got to be some changes in either formation or personnel for next year. You know, who knows what Ernie's going to do. It's like that's why he gets paid the big bucks to be the coach. But let's hope it's a bit more effective than what it was this year.
Absolutely. Well, guys, 1-0 loss. Season's over. Lucas, player of the match.
Player of the match. I'll go with Moss. I thought he kept them out. It could have been a lot more.
I agree. Glenn Moss for me. Matt, what about you?
Frangic.
Who?
Nah, Ivan Frangic.
Yeah, Frangic.
He scored. No. I will also go Glenn Moss, because without him, I think it would have been 3 or 4. So, yeah.
Yeah, very good. Well, we're now going to have a listen to Ernie Merrick's press conference, hear him having a chat to the media post this game. Thanks again as well, of course, to Fox Sports for our opportunity to use this audio. So here he is, Ernie Merrick.
First of all, I'd like to congratulate Perth Glory and Tony Popovich for a fantastic season. They were hardly beaten all year. They're playing some great football and difficult to break down. So it was always going to be a tough ask to ask our boys to come here and take away 3 points. I thought we were in with a chance of a draw, but it wasn't to be. But congratulations to them, and I'm sure they'll do extremely well in the finals. They'll probably go all the way, actually. On the game, we started off really well. First half an hour, I think we had 2 or 3 chances. We had the goal chalked off for offside. We hit the crossbar, and we had some good passages of play. And twice, young Joey Champness went through and just tried to beat one player too many instead of pulling the trigger. But he's showing really good signs of developing into a terrific young player. So, first half, I thought we acquitted ourselves well. It was pretty well 50-50, although they probably had a couple more chances than we did. But the second half, we seemed to lose. The longer the game went on, we lost control of the midfield, and that's where Glory became more and more dominant, and they created more than enough chances to win the game by probably more than one. Having said that, I think the way the game turned out is the story of our year. We lots of chances. Not as many as Glory, but lots of chances, and we didn't score. And that's been the story of this season.
Mm. How do you reflect on the season as a whole?
Oh, very disappointing. We should have been in the finals. I think we were good enough to be in the finals, but we've only scored half as many goals as we did last year, and it's pretty obvious we've got to work in that area. So we've got a good team. We've re-signed 16 of the players plus another player from the Mariners. So we're keeping them together. It's a good young squad. We've got 5 junior internationals, 3 early roos, 1 under 17, under 20, and they're all beginning to show their ability. So I think it gives us a good chance to set up for next year with the continuity. I think Victory's, you know, a team that I'm pretty well attached to Victory, but Sydney and Victory this year haven't been anywhere near as consistent as Glory. I personally don't like, I'm giving an opinion here, so I hope I don't get a $3,000 fine like I did last time I was in here. Mind you, I did have it rescinded. That was good fun. The most consistent team has been Glory by far, but there's no double chance anymore. To me, that one of the top 2 teams at the end of the season proper should be in the grand final. I think they've earned it. And to just have a weekend off, I don't think is a great final series. And it happened last year to Sydney, and I thought that was pretty tough on Sydney. They had a great year. So anyway, I think consistency-wise and the fact that they've got so much good momentum, I think Glory could go all the way.
Ernie, you spoke in the week about how tough it is to stop Diego Castro, and he was the difference last time he played for Glory, and tonight that ball of Franjic really was one of the big differences.
Yeah, I think the most trouble we had, I thought we did all right defensively in the first half. We did quite well in midfield. And we were creating chances up front, but the movement of the three strikers, Chianese, Gio, and the Spanish guy that never ages. I mean, Castro was just—he's just such a good player. But it's a credit to Tony that he's got him so fit, because he's the fittest I've seen. He's running out the game. I can't believe he's actually defending as well as attacking and creating. So he's a very good all-round player. It's good to see him doing well, and I think he'll be a feature in the grand final should you get that far. Well, we give Ivan a run, and Joey again, and our other Ollie Roos, Johnny, he played out the game. So I think we'll bring in young Gus, the under-20 player, next week, and maybe look at a couple of other changes for boys that haven't played a lot this year that will be a part of next year. So we want to go to Brisbane and win, so it'll be a strong team, but we definitely will blood some of the younger and inexperienced players.
Comparing the fortunes of Newcastle Jets and Perth Glory last season and this season, it's almost diametrically opposed. With your signings that you've made and preparing for the next season, are you hoping you can bounce back in?
Oh, yes. I think Newcastle's going to be a team that will regularly be in the finals and hopefully in the top three, but that's why Tony's done such a good job. And Tony Sage has been in there putting in the money, you know, credit to him as well. And the squad that he's put together are just so competitive, and they're not competitive for just 50, 60 minutes for the whole game, so you know you're up for it. We could have caught them out early on. If we'd scored, it might have been a different story, but we don't score enough goals, and that's what I have to fix next year. All right, guys. If I get a fine, I'm sending it to you.
Okay, guys, well, the Jets will have returned back from Perth by now. We're at the point where they'll be looking ahead to the game against Brisbane Roar on Easter Saturday. There's a couple of players off contract. We'll go through each of these. We've got Daniel Georgevski, Nick Cowburn, Jair, Ronald Vargas, Costa Petrados, Jake Adelson, and Kwabena Apiakuba. These are the players that I've got recorded as being off contract. Lucas, any of these players that you're looking to keep, or any that you think are definitely going to be let go?
So what was the list again? Is there a lot of them?
Daniel Georgevski. Oh, and O'Donovan, of course. That's right, O'Donovan.
Yeah. So Georgevski, Donovan,
Cowburn, Jair, Vargas, yeah. Adelson, Kwabena, Apiakubi.
Wow, there's a few. Well, Georgevski is definitely signing for Wanderers or the new mob. O'Donovan's a tricky one for me, because I kind of want to sign him because, you know, he does score goals. You know, he's got wildline fever or whatever, but if we let him go, I feel like we might start a new chapter up front, and we might, you know, with Shepherd, we might be better off. But I'm just worried that if we do that and we end up not paying off. Calvin, I'd like to re-sign. The others, probably not so much.
Matt, any of the players that you're picking out there? I'm still on the fence with Roy, personally, and I don't think that Kane Shepherd at this point in time is the answer. He's a good option off the bench, but up top by himself, I'm just not yet convinced that he could be a starting striker option in this league.
Agree. He's pretty good in front of goal, but he's just not mobile enough. Out of all those, I'd like to see us keep Calvin, but because he's a newie boy and because you get the discount on the salary. Roy, once again, 50-50. Like, I'd say sign him unless you can sign someone better. Like, I mean, if Barisha's available, then yeah, let's get him instead of Roy. It still comes down to, you know, what formation they're going to play next year as well. they're planning on playing two up front next year, like a, you know, 3-5-2 or a variation of five in the midfield, then I think you keep Roy. It really comes down to, you know, what the moves are next year, because we can't play the same formation we did this year. Everyone's worked this out.
Absolutely. Agree. Well, that's very interesting. Guys, I'm having a look through the news. There isn't any Jets news as well. That really, I don't know what else we can say about it. The Jets lost. We'll look forward ahead to the Brisbane Roar game, a dead rubber, as I mentioned, but it's a place that's often a happy hunting ground for us. Anything you'd like to talk about before we go? Matt, Lucas?
No, smash him. We'll smash him.
Very good. Well, thank you very much for joining us, everyone, for this podcast. We hope that you've enjoyed it. Join us again later in the week as we come back and preview the Jets match against the Brisbane Roar as they travel to Brisbane to take them on in round 26 of the A-League. Lucas, thank you very much for joining us.
No dramas, I enjoyed it.
No worries. Thanks very much, Matt.
Cheers, guys.
Until then, everyone, thank you very much, and go the Jets.
Wham, bam, Benjamin!